These promises are fair, the party's sure, and our induction full of prosperous hope.
Lord Mortimer and Cousin Glendower, will you sit down? Uncle Worcester. Plagueabite! I forgot the map!
No, here it is. Sit, Cousin Percy. Sit, good Cousin Hotspur. For by that name, as oft as Lancaster doth speak of you, his cheek looks pale, and with a rising sigh, he wisheth you in heaven.
And you in hell, as oft as he hears Owen Glendower spoke of.
I cannot blame him. In my nativity, the front of heaven was full of fiery shapes, of burning cressets, and at my birth, the frame and huge foundation of the earth shaked like a coward.
Why, so it would have done at the same season if your mother's cat had but kitten, though yourself had never been born.
They say the earth did shake when I was born.
And I say the earth was not of my mind, if you suppose as fearing you, it shook.
The heavens were all on fire. The earth did tremble.
Oh, then the earth shook to see the heavens on fire and not in fear of your nativity.
Cousin, of many men I do not bear these crossings. Give me leave to tell you once again that at my birth the front of heaven was full of fiery shapes. The goats ran from the mountains and the herds were strangely clamorous to the frighted fields. These signs have marked me extraordinary.
I think there's no man speaks better Welsh. I'll to dinner.
Peace, Cousin Percy. You will make me mad.
I can call spirits from the vast deep.
Aye, so can I, or so can any man. But will they come when you do call for them?
Why, I can teach you, cousin, to command the devil.
And I can teach thee, cousin, to shame the devil by telling truth. Tell truth and shame the devil. If thou have power to raise him, bring him hither, and I'll be sworn I have the power to shame him hence. Oh, while you live, tell truth and shame the devil. Come, come, no more of this unprofitable chat.
3 times hath Harry Bolingbroke made head against my power. 3 times from the banks of Wye and sandy bottom, 7 have I sent him bootless home and weather-beaten back.
Home without boots and in foul weather, too. How scapes he agues in the devil's name?
Come, here is the map. Shall we divide our right according to our threefold order, take?
The archdeacon hath divided it into 3 limits very equally. England, from Trent and Severn hitherto, by south and east, is to my part assigned. All westward, Wales beyond the Severn shore, and all the fertile lands within that bound, to Owen Glendower. And dear cousin to you, the remnant northward, lying off from Trent. And our indentures tripartite are drawn, which being sealed interchangeably, a business that this night might execute. Tomorrow, Cousin Percy, you and I, and my good Lord of Worcester, we'll set forth to meet your father and the Scottish power as is appointed us at Shrewsbury. My father, Glendower, is not ready yet, nor shall we need his help these 14 days. Within that space, you may have drawn together your tenants, friends, and neighboring gentlemen.
Methinks my moiety, north from Burton here, in quantity equals not one of yours. See how this river comes me cranking in and cuts me from the best of all my land, a huge half-moon, a monstrous cantelout. I'll have the current in this place dammed up, and here the smug and silver trench shall run in a new channel, fair and evenly. It shall not wind with such a deep indent to rob me of so rich a bottom here.
Not wind? It shall. It must. You see? It doth.
Yea, but mark how he bears his course and runs me up with like advantage on the other side, gelding the opposed continent as much as on the other side it takes from you.
Yea, but a little charge will trench him here and on this north side within this cape of land, and then he runs straight and even.
I'll have it so. A little charge will do it.
I'll not have it altered.
Will not you?
No, nor you shall not.
Who shall say me nay?
Why, that will I.
Let me not understand you, then. Speak it in Welsh.
I can speak English, Lord, as well as you. For I was trained up in the English court, where being but young, I framed to the harp many an English ditty lovely well, and gave the tongue a helpful ornament, a virtue that was never seen in you.
Marian, I'm glad of it with all my heart. I'd rather be a kitten and cry mew than one of those same meter ballad mongers. I'd rather hear a brazen canstick turned, or a dry wheel grate on the axle tree, and that would set my teeth nothing on edge, nothing so much as mincing poetry. This is like the forced gait of a shuffling nag.
Come, you shall have Trent turned.
Yeah, I do not care. I'll give 3 times so much land to any well-deserving friend. But in the way of bargain, mark ye me, I'll cavil on the 9th part of a hair.
Are the indentures drawn? Shall we be gone?
The moon shines fair, you may away by night. I'll haste to write her and we'll all break with your wives if you depart your hence. I am afraid my daughter will run mad, so much she doteth on her Mortimer.
My cousin Percy, how you cross my father.
I cannot choose. Sometimes he angers me with telling me of the mould warp and the ant. And such a deal of skimble scamble stuff as puts me from my face. I tell you what, he held me last night at least 9 hours in reckoning up the several devils' names that are his lackeys. I cried, and well, go to, and marked him, not a word. Oh, he's as tedious as a tired horse. A railing wife, worse than a smoky house. I'd rather live with cheese and garlic in a windmill far than feed on cates and have him talk to me in any summer house in Christendom.
In faith, he is a worthy gentleman. Exceedingly well-read and profited in strange concealments. Valiant as a lion and wondrous apple. And bountiful as mines of India. Shall I tell you, cousin? He holds your temper in a high respect and curbs himself even of his natural scope when you come cross his humor.
Yeah.
Faith, he does. I warrant you that man is not alive might so have tempted him as you have done without the taste of danger and reproof. But do not use it oft. Let me entreat you.
Faith, my lord, you are too willful blame, and since your coming hither have done enough to put him quite besides his patience, you must needs learn, lord, to amend his fault.
Well, I am schooled. Good manners be your speed.
Here come our wives. Let us take our leave.
This is the deadly spite that angers me. My wife can speak no English. I know well.
My daughter weeps. She'll not part with you. She'll be a soldier too. She'll to the war.
Good father. Tell her that she and my aunt Percy shall follow in your conduct speedily.
Umplentin, bith di amanef gerdro. With this, you prettier my order to order the roster that we did. I hold a meet a wedded, a kaidi, or a vina gluithis persi, or de ambemar eto, or danvenau.
Ar gluith, na, ano am I vele, an a milver hin weddol gymarbi. Cans pale bynna gabontai, y bydda fi. A drwy ymrwymiad yn priodas o lw a wad i mi weli gyda'r nos. Mi ni o ddefa fyn.
She is desperate here. A peevish, self-willed harlotry, one that no persuasion can do good upon.
Onid i wraig wyddi. Onid fy arglwydd e. Pale mae gorffwys fai mi felly. Ond yn i ymyl.
I understand thy looks. That pretty Welsh which thou pourest down from these swirling heavens I am too perfect in. And but for shame, in such a parley should I answer thee.
Arglwydd radlon. Mwy nid taniau dyletswydd y llefaraf. Cariad, tyneraf a phrydferthaf nwyd yw grym fe wyllus. Barglwydd tyner, gyda thi, gad i mi fyned.
I understand thy kisses are now mine, and that's a feeling disputation. But I will never be a truant love till I have learnt thy language. For thy tongue makes Welsh as sweet as ditties highly penned, sung by a fair queen in a summer's bower, with ravishing division to her lute.
Nay, if you melt, then will she run mad.
Cared Barclays, ac fydd hi daf di. Yma'r weli o frwyn yn ddistaw gorwedd. Gwrandodd yr iau hen dan awdd y mynwes. I leddfu holl o falon byd, a'i boi.
Oh, I am ignorance itself in this.
She bids you on the wanton rushes lay you down and rest your gentle head upon her lap, and she will sing the song that pleaseth you, and on your eyelids crown the god of sleep, charming your blood with pleasing heaviness, making such difference twixt wake and sleep as is the difference betwixt day and night, the hour before the heavenly harnessed team begins his golden progress in the east.
With all my heart, I'll sit and hear her sing. By that time will our book, I think, be drawn.
Do so. And those musicians that shall play to you, hang in the air 1,000 leagues from hence, and straight they shall be here. Sit and attend.
Come, Kate. Thou art perfect in lying down. Quick, quick, that I may lay my head in thy lap.
Oh, go, ye giddy goose.
Cervoriae! I perceive the devil understands Welsh. It's no marvel he's so humorous. By a lady.
He's a good musician.
Then should you be nothing but musical, for you are altogether governed by humours. Lie still, you thief, and hear the ladies sing in Welsh.
I had rather hear, lady, my brach howl in Irish.
Wouldst thou have thy head broken?
No.
Then be still.
Neither. 'Tis a woman's fault.
Now God help thee.
To the Welsh lady's bed.
What's that?
Peace. She sings.
Not mine in good sooth.
Not yours in good sooth? Aren't you swell like a comfort maker's wife? Not you in good sooth. And as sure as I live, and as God shall marry, and as sure as they, and give us such sarsenate surety for thy oaths as if thou never walked further than Finsbury. Swear me, Kate, like a lady as thou art, a good mouth-filling oath. Leave in sooth and such protest of pepper gingerbread to velvet guards and Sunday citizens. Come, sing.
I will not sing.
This is the next way to turn tailor or be redbreast, teacher. And the indentures be drawn. I'll be away within these 2 hours. So, come in when you will.
Come, come, Lord Mortimer, you are as slow as hot Lord Percy is on fire to go. By this our book is drawn. We'll but seal and then to horse immediately.
With all my heart.
I know not whether God will have it so. For some displeasing service I have done. That in his secret doom, out of my blood, he'll breed revengement and a scourge for me. But thou dost, in thy passages of life, make me believe that thou art only marked for the hot vengeance and the rod of heaven to punish my mistreadings. Tell me else, could such inordinate and low desires, such poor, such bare, such lewd, such mean attempts, such barren pleasures, rude society as thou art matched withal and grafted to, accompany the greatness of thy blood and hold their level with thy princely heart.
So please your majesty, I would I could quit all offences with as clear excuse, as well as I am doubtless I can purge myself of many I am charged withal.
God pardon thee. Yet let me wonder, Harry, at thy affections, which do hold a wing quite from the flight of all thy ancestors. Thy place in council thou hast rudely lost, which by thy younger brother is supplied, and art almost an alien to the hearts of all the court and princes of my blood. The hope and expectation of thy time is ruined, and the soul of every man prophetically do forethink thy fall. Had I so lavish of my presence been, so common hackneyed in the eyes of men, so stale and cheap to vulgar company, opinion that did help me to the crown had still kept loyal to possession, and left me in reputeless banishment, a fellow of no mark nor likelihood. By being seldom seen, I could not stir, but like a comet I was wondered at, that men would tell their children, "This is he." Others would say, "Where? Which is Bolingbroke?" And then I stole all courtesy from heaven and dressed myself in such humility that I did pluck allegiance from men's hearts, loud shouts and salutations from their mouths, even in the presence of the crowned king. Thus did I keep my person fresh and new. My presence, like a robe pontifical, ne'er seen but wondered at. And so my state, seldom but sumptuous, showed like a feast, and won by rareness such solemnity. The skipping king, he ambled up and down with shallow jesters and rash bavin wits, soon kindled and soon burnt, carded his state, mingled his royalty with capering fools, had his great name profaned with their scorns, and gave his countenance against his name to laugh at jibing boys and stand the push of every beardless vain comparative. Grew a companion to the common streets, enfiefed himself to popularity, that being daily swallowed by men's eyes, they surfeited with honey and began to loathe the taste of sweetness, whereof a little more than a little is by much too much. So when he had occasion to be seen, he was but as the cuckoo is in June, heard, not regarded, seen, but with such eyes as sick and blunted with community afford no extraordinary gaze, such as is bent on sun-like majesty when it shines seldom in admiring eyes, but rather drowsed and hung their eyelids down, slept in his face, and rendered such aspect as cloudy men use to their adversaries, being with his presence glutted, gorged, and full. And in that very line, Harry, standest thou. For thou hast lost thy princely privilege with vile participation. Not an eye but is aweary of thy common sight save mine, which hath desired to see thee more, which now doth that I would not have it do, may blind itself with foolish tenderness.
Shall hereafter my thrice gracious lord be more myself?
For all the world as thou art to this hour was Richard then when I from France had footed Ravenspur. And even as I was then, is Percy now. Now, by my scepter and my soul to boot, he hath more worthy interest to the state than thou, the shadow of succession. For of no right, nor color like to right, he doth fill fields with harness in the realm, turns head against the lion's armed jaws, and being no more in debt to years than thou, leads ancient lords and reverend bishops on to bloody battles and to bruising arms. What never dying honor hath he got against renowned Douglas, whose high deeds, whose hot incursions and great name in arms, holds from all soldiers chief majority and military title capital through all the kingdoms that acknowledge Christ? And what say you to this? Percy, Northumberland, the Archbishop's Grace of York, Douglas, Mortimer, capitulate against us and are up. But wherefore do I tell thee of those news? Why, Harry, do I tell thee of my foes, which art my nearest and dearest enemy? Thou that art like enough through vassal fear, base inclination and the start of spleen, to fight against me under Percy's pay, to dog his heels and curtsy at his frowns to show how much thou art degenerate.
Do not think so. You shall not find it so. God forgive them that so much have swayed your majesty's good thoughts away from me. I will redeem all this on Percy's head, and in the closing of some glorious day be bold to tell you that I am your son. And I will wear a garment all of blood, and stain my favors in a bloody mask, which washed away shall scour my shame with it. And that shall be the day, whene'er it lights, this same child of honor and renown, this gallant Hotspur, this all-praised knight, and your unthought-of Harry chance to meet. For every honor sitting on his helm, would they were multitudes. And on my head my shame's redoubled. For the time will come that I shall make this northern youth exchange his glorious deeds for my indignities. Percy is but my factor, good my lord, to engross up glorious deeds on my behalf. And I will call him to so strict account that he shall render every glory up, yea, even the slightest worship of his time. Or I will tear the reckoning from his heart. This in the name of God I promise here, the which, if he be pleased, I shall perform. I do beseech your majesty may salve the long-grown wounds of my intemperature. If not, the end of life cancels all bands, and I will die 100,000 deaths ere break the smallest parcel of this vow.
A 100,000 rebels die in this. Thou shalt have charge and sovereign trust herein.
Have I not fallen away vilely since this last action?
No.
Do I not beige? Do I not dwindle? My skin hangs about me like an old lady's loose gown. I'm withered, like an old apple, John. Well, I'll repent. And that suddenly, while I'm in some liking, I shall be out of heart soon, and then I shall have no strength to repent. And I've not forgotten what the inside of a church is made of. I'm a peppercorn, a brewer's horse. That's the inside of a church. Company! Villainous company has been the spoil of me.
Sir John, you are so fretful, you cannot live long.
Well, there is it. Come, sing me a bawdy song, make me merry.
No.
I've been as virtuously given as a gentleman needs to be virtuous enough. A small little dice, not above 7 times a week. Went to a bawdy house, not above 1¼ of an hour. Paid money that I borrowed 3 or 4 times. You lived well and in good compass, and now I live out of all order, out of all compass.
You are so fat, Sir John, you must needs be out of all compass, out of all reasonable compass, Sir John.
Do thou amend thy face, and I'll amend my life. Thou art our admiral. Thou bearest the lantern in the poop, but 'tis in the nose of thee. Thou art the knight of the burning lamp.
Why, Sir John, my face does you no harm.
No, I have sworn I make as good use of it as many a man doth of a death's head or a memento mori. I never see thy face, but I think of hell fire. and Dives that lived in purple. For there he is in his robes. Burning, burning. Oh, thou art a perpetual triumph, an everlasting bonfire light. Thou saved me 1,000 marks in links and torches, walking with thee in the night betwixt tavern and tavern. But the sack that thou hast drunk me would have bought me lights as good cheap at the dearest chandlers in Europe. I've maintained that salamander of yours with fire any time this 32 years. God reward me for it.
Blood, I would my face were in your belly.
God of mercy. So should I be sure to be heartburned. Hello, Dame Partlet the hen. Have you inquired yet who picked my pocket?
Well, what do you think, Sir John? Do you think I keep thieves in my house? I have searched, I have inquired, man by man, boy by boy, servant by servant. The tithe of a hair was never lost in my house before.
You lie, hostess. Bardolph was shaved and lost many a hair. And I'll be sworn my pocket was picked. Go to, you're a woman, go.
Oh, I know, I defy thee. God's lies, I was never called so in mine own house before.
Go to, I know you well enough.
No, Sir John. You do not know me, Sir John. I know you, Sir John. You owe me money, Sir John, and now you pick a quarrel to beguile me of it. I bought you 12 of shirts to your back.
Dowless, filthy dowless, and gave them away to baker's wives, and they made bolsters of them.
Oh! Now, as I'm a true woman, Holland, 8 shillings, an ale. You owe money here besides, Sir John, for your diet and by drinkings and money lent you 24 pounds.
He had his share of it, let him pay.
He? Well, lass, he's poor, he has nothing.
How poor? Look at his face. What call you rich? Let him coin his nose. Let him coin his cheeks. I'll not pay a denier. What, will you make a yonker of me? Shall I not take mine ease in mine inn? But I shall have my pocket picked. I have lost a seal ring of my grandfather's was worth 40 marks.
Jeez, you, I've heard the prince tell him, I know not how oft, that that ring was copper.
How? The prince is a jack, a sneak-up's blood. And he were here, I'd cudgel him like a dog if he should say so. Hey,
now, lad.
Aye, 2 and 2, new confession.
My lord, will you hear me?
Let her alone and listen to me.
What says thou, Jack?
The other night I fell asleep here behind the arras and had my pocket picked. This house is turned boarding house. They pick pockets.
What did thou lose,
would
Jack?
Would you believe it, Hal? 3 or 4 bonds worth £40 apiece, and a seal ring of my grandfather's.
A trifle, well, some 8 penny matter.
I told you, my lord, and I said that I heard your grace say so. No. And my lord, he speaks most vilely of you, like a foul-mouthed man as he is, and said he would cudgel you.
What he did?
There's neither faith, truth, nor womanhood in me else.
There's no more faith in thee than in a stewed prune.
Oh.
Go, you thing, go.
Say, what thing? What thing?
What thing? What thing? Well, a thing to thank God on.
Oh, I'm no thing to thank God on, and setting thy knighthood aside, thou art a knave to say so.
I'm setting thy womanhood aside, thou art a beast to say otherwise.
Say, what beast, thou knave, thou?
What beast, why? An otter.
An otter, said John. Why an otter?
Because she's neither fish nor flesh, and a man knows not where to have her.
Thou art an unjust man to say so. Thou or any man know where to have me.
Says true, hostess, and he slanders thee most grossly. Charge an honest woman with picking thy pocket? Why, thou whoreson, impudent, embossed rascal. If there were anything in my pockets but tavern reckonings, memorandums of bawdy houses, and 1 poor pennyworth of sugar candy to make thee long-winded, if thy pockets were enriched with any other injuries but these, I am a villain.
You will confess, then, that you picked my pocket?
It appears so, by the story.
Hostess, I forgive thee. Go make ready breakfast. Cherish thy servants and look to thy guests. They pretty be gone. Now, hail to the news in court for the robbery, lad. How is that answer?
Oh, my sweet beef, I must still be good angel to thee. The money is paid back again.
Oh, I like not that paying back. 'Tis a double labor.
I'm good friends with my father and may do anything.
Well, rob me in the exchequer, the first thing thou dost.
Come, my lord. I have procured thee, Jack, a charge.
A charge.
Of foot.
Bardolph!
My lord!
Go bear this letter to Lord John of Lancaster, yeah. My brother John.
Yeah.
This to my lord of Westmoreland.
Yeah.
Jack, meet me tomorrow in the Temple Hall at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. There should thy know thy charge, and there receive money and order for their furniture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is burning. Percy stands on high, and either we or they must lower.
Rare words, brave world. Hostess, my breakfast come. Oh, I could wish this tavern were my drum.